Hello, everybody. Welcome to the GG Place podcast. I'm your host, Corey, and with me today is Josh. How's it going, Josh?
Hey, guys. Going very well. Very well.
We played some Vintage Cube last week. That was fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Classic, we didn't win. One of our friends has been winning like the past, like, I don't know, 8 times, I'd have to say.
I know. I've like consistently been like 3rd place the last like 5 times in a row. It's
like... I got to take him down. There's something going on.
But yeah, so we have Vintage Cube videos. If you want to watch us do that, coming out on the YouTube channel all the time, check us out. So if you want to support the podcast, you can directly on Patreon. Also in our Discord, watching our stuff on YouTube. All those links and everything and all the cool perks you can get is all on our website, mtgplace.net. So you check that out. So a little bit of Magic news I want to hit here before we get into our main topic. First thing, they announced they're going to pair with Marvel.
Yes. Yep.
So more, what's that called? Universes Beyond.
UB.
I don't know how I feel about Marvel and Magic. It doesn't really seem to fit that well.
I'm personally not a Marvel fan at all, but I don't really care for Universes Beyond anymore. I mean, I really like hated it for a while, but now after a while, I'm just like, you know, let people have their fun. Like some people will really love Marvel and be like, hey, this is my first time going to join Magic. Let's see what this is all about. And I like having more players and more people to enjoy this fantastic game. So
yeah, that's kind of my take on it too. Like I really liked obviously the Lord of the Rings and the Doctor Who, just because I'm a fan of those.
Yep.
And the D&D was cool, but that, I mean, that meshes really well with Magic,
right?
Basically almost the same thing.
I guess it really needs to like hit at home. Marvel's kind of there. I can kind of see it, like superheroes, but like when they did Fortnite and other things, it's just like, it's not my cup of tea.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it kind of makes sense with the story because they're saying you can like just travel to any world now.
Right. So. Yeah.
Second thing is they now are getting rid of set boosters and regular boosters, and they're going to have play boosters.
Yeah, which... they kind of dug themselves in their own grave when they kind of made set boosters, being like, hey, here's a cooler product that you can open for like fun and stuff. And then no one wanted to buy draft anymore.
They're like, hey, because then draft was basically just used for limited then at that point.
Yeah.
So now they're trying to combine the two, which on limited, I really don't think it's going to have that much of an effect, even though people are saying it will. But, I mean, it's not going to be any different than, like, what was it, March of the Machine or whatever, where you had the bonus slot and you had the foil slot to be a rare, so you could get, like, or the battle slot, so you could get, like, 4 rares in a pack.
They will possibly be thinking about what goes on the lists and stuff. It's not like someone's going to open a Umezawa Jite from the list and be like, oh, I just ran the whole place because I opened up a Jite.
Right, like, exactly.
I'm sure they'll think about what they actually put in, just like Mother of Machines.
Yeah, I think they said that they're going to change the list to be only like 40 cards or something,
right?
Like curated instead of like the like 300 cards it is now or whatever. And it will be only a 12% chance to get it versus the 25% it is now. So,
yeah, I mean, everything's going up in price. I'm just a little upset that they're even more expensive than what set boosters are right now. So,
yeah, I mean, but you know, in comparison, a booster pack was like $3-4 for like 20 years.
True.
So
6 isn't too crazy.
Yeah. But so there's going to be 6 commons and then the list or a 7th common and then 3 uncommons. And then a rare or mythic slot and then a basic land slot. And then non-foil wild card. So that can be anything. That could be anything from common to a mythic rare. And then a foil in every pack now, guaranteed. And that could be anything from a common to a mythic rare. And then the add/token card.
That was a little interesting. They said they're going to make more unique uncommons than unique commons. I mean, you still get more common cards in a pack, but there'll be more different uncommons than commons now, which just kind of racks my brain a little bit.
Yeah, so I think before there was, what does it say? Oh, I guess it doesn't really say. But before there was X amount of commons in a set, and so now there's going to be like kind of like, you know, mythic uncommons kind of thing. So it's not going to be like you used to open a booster box of cards and get, you know, a playset of all the uncommons. Now it's going to be like you might get one or two of the good uncommons.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about the poor Pauper players.
Yeah.
They get even less cards now.
Yeah, but they don't need a ton. It's still like 30 cards or whatever.
You get like, one or two commons in a set that's actually going to be impactful.
All right, so our main topic today, we're going to talk about the saltiest cards in Commander. We're getting our data from EDH Rec. I know most Commander players know that website. You can look up all sorts of cool stats and everything on there.
Great place.
The saltiest, I mean, for me personally, I don't have a problem with a lot of these cards that are going to come up on the list because I'm just like, whatever. It's more the where you can't play the game part. So, like, I guess the first two is kind of the that are going to come up that I'm not going to like.
And this is also in a Commander lens we're putting on. Right. Like we're playing Commander. We're not thinking about 1v1s or anything.
Yeah, if you're playing 1v1, you want to play this all the time so that you just win. Like, because you don't care if your opponent is fun. You just want
to
win.
This is true. You're trying to cultivate a play group with
Commander, a lot of casual players just want to play for fun and don't really care if they win or not. They just want their deck to do the thing they want it to do.
Yep. I think a lot on this list that you're looking at that you're like, I don't really care. I think it's more of like the power level of them that they're so strong that you feel like it's almost unfair. And so you get salty about it.
Right, right. I'm just saying me personally, I don't really get salty when most games, unless it's literally like, all right, you're just going to draw go the whole game and sit here for half an hour and do nothing. But like if someone, you know, so like you know, Stasis, Winter Orb, the first two, it's like you can't untap your fucking lands. So I can't really play anything.
Yeah, with like these sort of cards, you need to have a game plan. I think up here, a lot of land destruction is huge, like Armageddon and Jakula Hops, all of those. They're salty if you don't have a win condition with it. Like if you're just playing it to play it and you're like, okay, well, this game, instead of going to be an hour, it's going to be like 2.5 hours long. Like, thanks. Like, if you're playing Armageddon and you do, like, Teferi's Protection yourself, so you get to keep your lands, like a little combo action going, then I'm like, awesome. Go for it. You kind of basically won the game there. But if you're just throwing out an Armageddon, throwing out a Winter Orb, I'd rather have more games than... okay, here comes another hour long of a game. Right.
Yeah. Like if it's like, okay, I have protection or my lands are indestructible, then I blow up all lands, it's like, okay, you win. I'm just gonna scoop you have a million more mana than me.
Right. If you're just playing it just to see the faces on your opponents, you know, you're not playing Commander, right? I think a lot of these cards, my playgroup just kind of, they already know, like, especially Stasis, like, you just kind of feel it. Like, you don't really want to cultivate this sort of play style already. We kind of already, like, almost rule zero them out. I rarely ever see Static Orb or, you know, the Tabernacle of Pendervale.
Well, Tabernacle, also, if someone was proxying that, I'd be like, dude, go buy a real one if you want to play it.
I'm all about proxies, but oh gosh, that's
just for that specific card because I hate playing against it.
True. Yeah, it is. That's why it's on the top. What is it? Top 15 saltiest most card.
Like Winter Orb, you do see played quite a lot, I think. But
Yeah, see, with the combo action, if you have Winter Orb and Urza, I'm like, okay, dude, you're doing it. Like, you right. got your lands. You're not sitting with the rest of us just waiting on turns. Like, you're comboing.
And then let's see, Static Orbs, you only get two things. I mean, but I mean, at that point, like, it's kind of like what the Stoic Angel, where you can only tap one thing. Like, that's not even on this list. It's like, there's a creature that does that.
Who plays Band?
You can. Like, my cousin plays Band Duretti with Hate Bears.
Duretti, Chulainn, I guess you need a super, super pushed commander to play Band. Which those two are pretty pushed.
Yeah, Vorinclex is, let's see, well, that's just because your opponent's lands don't untap. If they just remove that bottom line, nobody would care.
Right, yeah. It's it's not having your lands. Is a big salt-inducing for people, I see.
I'm surprised Expropriate's back up in here. I thought that fell for a while. Like, it used to be, like, people used to play that card all the time. And yeah. Like, oh, I just get a whole bunch of extra turns. But now, like, I feel like it's 9 mana. There's more efficient things I put in my deck. I find myself cutting it from my deck more and more just because, like, I don't think, like, yes, it's good when you cast it, but...
Yeah, I see it. I think it just has that reputation, you know, like everybody knows Expropriate. Everyone knows it's going to like moan and grudge like over, oh, okay, he's playing that. Like you know you're going to win off like a Crater Hoof too. That's also, it's way down on the list, but it has a salt score of 1.7. It's just like, we've seen it so many times and it has that reputation. Expropriate is probably should be going way down, but it just has that name. Everyone knows.
Yeah, then you have, you know, Armageddon, which is pretty much the same feeling as Armageddon, Jocko Hops, Obliterate, Devastation, Ravages of War. It's like all kills your freaking lands.
Destroy all lands.
Thassa's Oracle, I honestly don't care about that much because usually they just combo off and win in one turn when they play that, but I mean, I get it because they're just going to sit there and fiddle until they combo and then they just win and you don't do anything unless you have interaction.
I think it is just that power level that, I mean, if it wasn't Thassa's Oracle here, it would be Laboratory Maniac up here. It's just, it feels like people are playing a game of Magic and then just out of the blue, it's like, oh, hey, I just win. It's like, okay, that was kind of anticlimactic, like, I get CEDH and you're like going there. That's pretty cool. But when you're just like hanging out with your buddies and at Thassa's Oracle, Demonic Consultation, it's like, okay, well, let's just pick up the game and start a new one.
Yep.
You did and, it.
Yeah. Jyngataxxus is just because your opponents can't have a hand.
Yeah, I've never seen him actually work.
Usually he's just killed on spot. Like,
yeah, that's true.
But a lot of times, like, I mean, it used to be played in the old school Reanimator Legacy decks because that was the way to win. But now, like, you play Sire of Insanity instead because it's cheaper. It's 6 mana.
Yeah, there's just, I feel like there's better targets, but I personally have never seen it on the Commander battlefield before.
Yeah, and then Urza, obviously, because everyone hates Urza for artifacts. It's super good.
Yeah, I mean, it's that power level thing right there. It's like, tap an untapped artifact, add a blue. That's the biggest part. That's crazy.
And then the next two, like the Dockside and Cyclonic Rift, I feel like it's more just they're so good power level wise, again, that like if you don't have them in your deck, you feel at a disadvantage.
Yes. So
everybody has to play them, basically.
Very so, very so. Yeah, they're just so high power level. You need to have them, or if the opponent doesn't, they're huge disadvantage. Yeah, exactly what you said.
Yeah, and then Tabernacle we covered. Like, that's not very many people actually even play that. I don't think I've never seen one be resolved on the board. So, or played on the board to me because of the land.
I could see it, especially in casual environments. No one has a strip mine. me personally, I've put a strip mine in everywhere because my buddies and I, we proxy the Gaia's cradles and stuff around. Yeah. So I need to answer some. But if you're sitting in the casual, you don't really have strip mine. You're not looking at lands. So having a tabernacle out, you're safe.
Now, Sunder, return all lands. I'm guessing there's some dumb combo with that.
It probably just says lands on it.
I mean, it does. It turns all lands to owner's hands, but I'm like, yeah, you can just replay it. It does slow the game down, but like, unless someone has like a way to play a bunch of lands at once, it's going to slow them down too.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm kind of surprised to see this one.
Turgrid, I think, should be number one, or, well, behind Stasis and shit.
I hate this card the next with one. The passion.
Because like, it's
so much value.
It's so disgusting. I just made a budget deck just to show how like disgusting it is with cards that laying around. And they my buddies are just going to 3v1 me, and I still won.
Like, yeah.
It was ridiculous.
Why does it have discards permanent too? Like I can see board wipe or something. Like that's kind of cool, but it's
yeah. So the weird. Sacrifice. If it was only the sacrifice part, it'd be a little bit like not. It's the discard because you could just be like, you know, each opponent discards their hand or whatever, deals their hand, and then you just get a whole board of shit. Like
it's crazy, crazy good. That's secondhand partner Pox.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate Tigrid. I think I've expressed it so much in my play group that they put it out of their decks.
Rhystic Study, I'm fine with because everybody plays it again. That's another one of those ones that everyone basically has to play it, or you feel like you're at a disadvantage.
Yeah. I think it's just more the annoying part, you know. It's just like, do you pay the one?
Yeah. And then eventually people just go, no. And then you draw a million cards.
It's just on both sides. You having to remind people to pay, you're the one, and then you're being annoying. And then it's just like, come on, can I just play the game?
And then Decree of Annihilation just exiles everything.
Yeah, I think it's just it's the cycle destroy all lands.
Yeah, but if you do hard cast it, you remove artifacts, everything, creatures, lands, everything. Graveyards, and hands from the game.
It's that whole point where it's like, you need to win off of, like, don't prolong the game. They're already an hour long, man. Like, I don't want to sit there for 2.5 hours.
Yeah. And then Fierce Guardianship, the main issue with that, I think, is it was originally only printed in the one commander deck. And, like, A, it's a free counter spell, right? Yeah. B, like, everybody doesn't have easy access to it because there wasn't that many copies available originally. There is now that they reprinted it, but
just got reprinted. Pick up your copies.
Humility. People don't like all the Timmy people hate that because your creatures are just one once.
You don't really realize how bad Humility messes up most decks until you play with it. It's like, oh, my Eternal Witness doesn't get its ETB.
Yeah, unless you're spells only, no creatures at all. Like, so.
Yeah, it's actually pretty devastating.
Apocalypse, same thing, removes your lands.
I think we could just cherry pick our favorite ones now. I'm looking at Drannith Magistrate now. It's got Assault. Score of 2.03. That card, every time I jam it in every white deck I can, but every time I play it, I hear the moans and groans from my opponents. They're this card, man.
See, that was a card I used to, I stuck in for the hell of it once, not even realizing that it worked against commanders.
Oh, wow.
I just stuck it in just like, because I was just like, oh, I'm just going to play it because I need a 2-drop, one like a 1/3, like an aggro deck or something. And then I was like, oh, this shuts off commanders. That's really good.
Yeah. That's like the main reason I always run it for. And then eventually, actually, it like shuts down somebody on the whole play table, actually. Like, it's crazy the amount of times Drannith Magistrate can come up.
Well, especially with all the like you know, impulse draw, play stuff from exile decks now.
Right. Yeah. So I come in thinking, yeah, I'm going to shut down your commanders. But then at one point, it's like, oh, one player can't play the game right now. Oops.
Yeah, I personally hate Narset on here, too. They have
1.94
assault score.
Yep. Any sort of those no-draw combo type with the wheels, it's pretty intense. Notion Thief. I mean, heck, what was that? The Merfolk and Commander Legends that got banned right away.
Remember that? Oh, Hullbreacher.
Yeah, Hullbreacher. Yeah, I was going to say Hullbreacher Horde, but it's just Hullbreacher.
Mm-hmm.
Those. That's bannable offense. Like, there's that good.
They don't draw and you get something out of it. Yeah.
Yep.
Oko, I think, is just the Grotesk factor. Like, everybody plays it and everyone just goes Oko, and then they go, oh, freaking Oko, turning all my things into Elks again.
Yeah. Yeah, and Commander is a little bit easier to deal with, but still, like, making an Elk and losing all abilities is crazy. And why is it a plus? Why is it a plus?
Yeah, that was the plus was the issue. It should have been a minus.
I'll have to call out Grand Arbiter Augustine IV. Specifically, not like specifically him, but anything that make your spells cost a little bit more is pretty intense. I've had like some games where my buddy had just a bunch of hate bears that said that. And man, I was sitting on like a preordain for like turn 5 until I could finally cast that. It's so sad.
Let's see. And then, well, Omniscience is on here. It's more annoying if they play it and then don't just immediately win the game. Because, like, if they resolve it, I assume they just win. Like, I'm basically just going to scoop at that point.
It's really hard not to.
Because, like, they just win. Like, you can play everything for free. Like, go ahead and play all your 10 mana cards.
Yeah, it's pretty hard not to. There's cards that... what is it? Mindslaver is a big one, where they could just take over your entire turn.
Oh, yeah, the Emrakul does that, too.
Emrakul, or, like, send triplets almost, even. My buddy, his favorite thing is to Mindslaver someone, and he'll be like, all right, get up from your seat, let me see your hand, let me get this hole, just kind of sits all nice in your seat. It's like, oh, my goodness, this is so bad.
The Sorin's Ultimate does that, too.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Narset is one of my most hated commanders ever because of how it was built originally, where you just take infinite turns.
Extra turns. Yeah, extra turns itself is pretty salt-inducing because you're sitting there already in a four-player match. You're kind of waiting for your turn the whole entire time, and after like 10 minutes pass, someone plays an extra turn spell, and you're like, really? Okay. All right, I'm just going to sit here again more, like... I wanted to play, but that's all right.
Mm-hmm.
Usually then, with Narset or someone running extra turns, they're starting to chain it off. And usually you don't know if they're going to win. And if they are, it's getting kind of close. You're like, I don't know. I'm sitting here with like a counter spell. I don't know. It's just all bad. All right, let's talk about the real, real salt-inducing cards. Chaos. Oh, man, Chaos cards. Possibility Storm is possibly one of the worst cards ever printed.
Yeah, well, Possibility Storm itself, yes. I don't care for that. But, like, if you built a Chaos deck not around Possibility Storm, like, if you're just, like, you know, Chaos Warping and Polymorph and shit, I'm like, whatever.
Those I don't view as chaos. Like, those actually have, like, a game plan. But, like, Possibility Storm, or what are some of these I'm reading? Warp World. Especially, it's one of those new players. They've been playing for maybe, like, a few months, and then they see their first Chaos card, and they're like, oh, I'm going to build a whole deck off of this. Mm. You start playing that game, and they're like, this is the longest, worst game I've ever played.
Anything else you have super salty for?
Yeah, going down this list, yeah, it's more of just power level or their notoriety, like DC or Crater Hoof Behemoth or Korvold, just like really, really strong cards.
Yeah. I'm just interested. I'm trying to scroll down the bottom to see what the least saltiest card is. Like the one that just nobody dislikes. Is it like Forest?
The happiest card.
It's like Forest.
Or Plains. I love that. I love that. Let's see. You were explaining earlier how you don't like Chains of Metastopheles.
Yeah. I don't like that in as a judge, because that in the interaction with that in like Sylvan Library, there's like a flowchart because it's so annoying.
Oh gosh. Yep.
But yeah, and just because the old wording on it and even the new Oracle text is hard to understand.
Yeah, very, very hard. I would say...
So if you play that card, make sure you really know how it works.
Right, yeah. I'm just going to put it in here because it's a discard deck.
Yeah. Like, they'll just throw that in your Nekusar deck because it's a discard thing.
Yeah.
Like, you have to be able to explain to people how the hell the card works.
Yes, that is a big part. Are saying you're also, you need to combo off with like your Armageddon or something. Like, you need to know why you're playing these cards to play them. I'll also put in there, I'm surprised I'm not seeing a lot of Infect or like Poison.
Well, yeah, Blightsteel was towards the top.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
I think kind of covers just Infect in general.
I'm a Blightsteel kind of guy, but it is, I see it where it's like you take out one player at a time, and that's kind of sad, being that player being taken out first.
Yeah, and you're just waiting for the game to be over.
Kind of the worst. I see one of my favorite cards, Toxril, the Corrosive. Every time my buddy plays this as a commander, and gosh, it warps the game.
Oh so, yeah, Toxril is insanely good. It becomes a mini game of how fast can I kill Toxril?
Yeah, yeah. It's end of each end step, and creatures get skip minus one. Like, that's crazy. Most creatures don't have four toughness or higher. Like, nothing sticks.
It's definitely way worse. I've never played against it as a commander. That would be way worse. But mm-hmm. Just in the right. 99, like, it's like, oh my god.
As the commander. And he mostly just has, like, rituals and fast mana. It's like, okay, I know Toxril is going to get taken out the first time, the second time, but here he comes the third time. Oh man. Ooh, I get major groans. I play Aura Shards a lot. I love that card.
I think that card should be played more often, honestly, just with how many hateful artifacts and stuff there is out there.
Yeah. I'm a Gave Grower of Spores at heart. Love that guy. So I just create so many little 1/1 tokens that are expendable, but man, each little 1/1 is destroying an artifact or enchantment. It is so good. See, and
I'd rather play against that, like Aura Shards, than like Null Rod, where they just don't work. Like, so I just play my shit and it doesn't do anything.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
Like, I'd rather you blow it up and I have a chance to like get it back, play it again, or blow your thing up.
Right, right.
Like, because then I have more ways to interact. I don't know. I guess you have to play interactive decks then, which I've just been starting to do. Whereas if you just play your thing, then yeah, you wouldn't like that effect.
Make sure you run removal, boys and girls. Pack that in.
Yeah, like I probably play 10 to 13 like single target removal right. in most decks.
Right. I also say the newest board wipe, the newest hottest one, Farewell, everyone's putting in their deck. That's like even worse. I think that's super salt inducing more than like a Wrath of God, because it just exiles like...
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, there was Merciless Eviction before that, right?
That's true. That's true. But this one, it can do all of it.
Yeah, that's true.
Instead of just one. And, man, you usually choose the one that helps you the most. Like, you'll keep your artifacts or whatever you're running and then exile the rest. And being exiled is way worse than being in your graveyard.
Yep.
Yeah, other than that, I'm looking at power level is mostly what these other cards that we haven't covered.
I'm still trying to get to the bottom of the list.
No.
It's like still loading.
You know how many cards there are in Magic?
Does it list every card?
I don't know. It's gotta, right?
If it literally lists every card, then yeah, it's going to take forever.
You're going to be here for a long time.
I'm at like 0.2 right now. And like Trained Org is down here. Like, if someone plays Trained Org, I'm like, sweet. Flashback to the past.
I don't think you're on any salty cards anymore. See, I'm still roughly at the top of the list, and I see a Sensei's Divining Top at 1.31. And just want to say, like, know your cards, and kind of, if you're going to run Sensei's, I think the why it's so salty up here is just dirtling.
Yeah, it takes forever because
people like dirtling top again, knowing what to do, just debating and looking at their three cards again and over. It's like, you should know really your deck, and if you're going to Sensei's Divining Top, like, do it as a reasonable pace, please. Let's see here. Yeah, mostly it's just power level. Ooh, I guess I get super salty. I don't know why, but I mean, I know why, but anybody playing five color commanders, wow, one, they're like so pushed, and two, it's like, are you really even playing commander anymore? It's like, okay, you get access to every single color. Like, commander's supposed to be like, breed creativity from like, ooh, I'm playing two colors or normally three colors. Or if you're a Giga Chad, you're playing one color. Like,
I don't know. I like five colors just because then you have the access to every color.
I know, but is that commander that? And why do they have to be all so pushed?
I mean, you're still singleton, right?
First sliver.
But yeah, like the tribal, the ones, the typo ones, whatever, are really good.
I mean,
but like before that, it was what, like just Child of Alara, like
yeah. But nowadays, they're all super pushed. Even, not Obnixilis, it's Niv-Mizzet Reborn. Like, that's even pretty fair, but still pushed. Oh, man. I don't know.
Play Chromat.
Five-color commander. There's the mana bases are so good now that there is no downside of, like, playing five colors. It's like, okay, you get access to everything. It's so easy to play cards now.
Until it's that one game where you get a color screwed, but
very rarely, but okay, I can see it. Mana base.
It happens to me more than anyone else, though, because I usually play Jank five color decks.
Well, there you go. It's the deck building problem.
It's not really a deck building problem, it's just that I don't want to play the norm.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put, you know, cards that nobody plays in this deck.
Oh, man.
Cards that were good like 10 years ago.
Yeah, I guess the only, like, it's power level, as I keep saying. I'm scrolling through these. It's just, like, all power level. But anything that, like, warps the game, too, into, like, their own mini game, I guess. Rest in peace, in a way, but Marilyn of Mournsong.
Yeah, against graveyard decks.
Marilyn of Mournsong, my buddy has been comboing off with this. This, and you get Opposition Agent, and
yeah, you just win.
You win from there. But just Marilyn on her own is just playing a different mini game than what you came out and set here to do to play your deck. Is I don't know. I guess I could see it why it's salt-inducing.
Yep. I'm almost down to point one. I want to see what the least saltiest card is.
I don't know, man.
I don't think I'm going to get there. No. I'm going to get down to 0.19, and then I'll tell you what it is, and then somebody else can sit and load all of them to tell me what the actual one is.
There you go. Let us know in the comments down below. Ooh, I see a relatively new card, Shieldred the Apocalypse. I guess that goes with the Wheeling, the Narset, the...
Yeah.
Orcish Bowmasters is also a new one with the wheels. A real hot card right now is the One Ring.
Oh, yeah, the One Ring.
Seen people play that. Giving you protection, drawing you a bunch of cards, and in Commander you have 40 life, so the damage is pretty negligible. And I think a big reason why it's kind of salty is it's a little expensive right now.
Really? How much is it?
It's got to be over 40.
I thought there was a version for like $25, but...
The cheapest version right now is going for $55.
Oh, okay. So that is pretty expensive.
Normal one's $70.
Jeez.
Yeah, this card has seen a lot of play.
Well, don't try and get to the very last card because eventually your Chrome will run out of resources and crash.
Oh, no. That's a lot of
magic. It's the lower every card. But the lowest card I had gotten to was like 0.18 was like Tangle Asp. Which is a terrible card. I don't think I've ever seen it played against me except for like one time in the Kazoo deck or something.
Yeah, I don't think any of those cards. Once you get past like the top like 300, they're not really salt-inducing. You're just playing Magic at that point. Ooh, I see a relatively new one. Mirim Sentinel Worm. I do agree on this one. This is the dragon that's, that's whenever really another non-token dragon enters the battlefield under your control, create a token that's a copy of it. Except this token isn't legendary, if that dragon is legendary. It's crazy how that thing can pop off.
So yeah, I did a top five video a while ago on, I think it's on our YouTube channel, you can find it. But and it was basically almost 4 out of 5 were blue cards. Because, you know, it was Counterspell, Cyclonic Rift, all the cards people don't want to play against. Time Twister.
Yep. Oh, found Stoic Angel. 1.02 salt score.
Yeah, it's easier to be killed because it's a creature.
Yeah, and Bant, by the way, folks. Yep. He's playing Bant.
I like Bant.
Get out of here, Chu Lane players.
Chu Lane? I don't want no Chu Lane. I'm going to play like Rune or something or something weird.
Yeah.
What's the Rhino guy? I thought about building the Rhino guy.
That's Rune, right? Yeah, the Flicker Rhino?
Yeah, is that Bant? No. There's a new Rhino from the Brokers. When they changed it from Bant. Was it Brokers? Yeah, Brokers was broken.
Yeah. Streets of Capenna, I kind of ignored.
Yeah, there's like a Rhino that comes with a shield counter that can be your commander or something like that. So he's like medium, but like I was like, Rhino Tribal would be fun. Just play Rhinos.
It's Typal. It's not Tribal. Yeah,
Typal.
People in Tribal decks. Another relatively new one, Hinata, Dawn Crown. My buddy built a deck real quick, and it's crazy the cards you see that can pop off with. Like, that card is actually kind of nuts. I don't know if it's salt-inducing, but pretty nuts.
What else is salt-inducing is when you combo off an Ur-Dragon and kill your buddy, and then your buddy goes, "Why are you killing me first?" And then someone has to point out he's comboing off and killing everyone this turn. He just has to make sure he has the damage right.
Yeah, that's just Commander. If he if you have a mana dork, start the commander game, turn one, you play Land of War Elves, and then no one else plays something, and you attack someone, and they're down 4 to 39 from 40, they're going to remember that for the rest of the night.
Yeah, it's like the Telltale game. Like, he will remember that.
Yeah, you will hear from it over and over and over again. Well, remember the time you hit me for one? That's just Commander for you.
All right. Well, any last thoughts? I think we'll make this a short, sweet episode here then.
Right. Yeah. Make sure you pack that removal.
Yeah, yeah. Removal.
Combo off with your Armageddon. Don't just go in without a game plan. Make sure you know what you're doing with any of these salt-inducing cards.
And if you want to pick any of these up, don't forget we have a TCG Player affiliate link. It's in the show notes, and you can find it on our website, ntgplace.net, as well. Also, don't forget to check out our YouTube. We got a video coming out pretty much every day right now. We play a lot of Vintage Cube. Obviously, our podcast is on there, the video version, along with the audio version you can hear over on Spotify and wherever you listen to podcasts. And until next time, we will say see you later.
See ya.